Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Good Faith Conciliation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 13, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Mock Mining v. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. This case involves the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC's, Title VII duty to investigate claims of discrimination levied against an employer and to make good faith efforts to eliminate discriminatory employment practices before filing suit against that employer. The question in this case is whether and to what extent a court may enforce the EEOC's duty to conciliate discrimination claims before filing suit. To discuss the case, we have Mr. Paul Mierenghoff. Mr. Mierenghoff is a retired attorney in Washington, D.C., and is a blogger at powerlineblog.com. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Mierenghoff.
Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bans employment discrimination, requires the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, known as the EEOC, to try to negotiate an end to an employer's alleged discrimination before it sues the employer. The issue before the Supreme Court in Mock Mining versus EEOC, which was argued last week, is whether a court can enforce this requirement. Sometimes when the EEOC wants to sue an employer, it doesn't really try to negotiate or conciliate, to use the technical term, beforehand. Instead, it may simply present a demand without explanation. If the employer presents a counteroffer or asks for an explanation or for more information, the EEOC will sometimes simply refuse to respond and declare that conciliation has failed and then proceed directly to court. Sometimes the EEOC might not even present an offer to the employer. In these circumstances, the employer will assert as a defense of the lawsuit that the EEOC failed to meet its statutory obligation to conciliate. And this has long been deemed an acceptable defense to raise. When it's asserted, courts will assess whether, in fact, the EEOC met its obligation to conciliate. If it finds that the EEOC didn't meet it, courts can then dismiss the lawsuit completely, but more typically, they give the EEOC another shot at meeting its conciliation obligation. And once it has, the lawsuit can then proceed. However, in the Mock Mining case, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruled, in effect, that there is no failure to conciliate defense. It found that if the EEOC asserts that it engaged in conciliation, that's the end of the matter. There's no judicial review. The Seventh Circuit gave four main reasons for this ruling. First, the language of the statute, which states that, quote, EEOC shall endeavor to eliminate the employment practice by informal means of conciliation, rather, conference, conciliation, and persuasion, unquote, indicates a desire to give a huge amount of discretion to the EEOC. Second, Title VII says that information about what happened during conciliation is to remain confidential. A failure to conciliate defense would mean that evidence about what happened in conciliation would be disclosed in court, thereby contradicting the confidentiality rule in the view of the Seventh Circuit. Third, the Seventh Circuit didn't think there is a workable standard for applying a failure to conciliate defense. How much give and take would there need to be? How many phone calls back and forth? How many conferences? How much assessment by the court of the reasonableness of the EEOC's substantive position during conciliation? The court couldn't find an answer to those questions, at least not a satisfactory answer. Fourth, the Seventh Circuit was concerned by permitting a failure to conciliate defense will enable employers to drag out the pre-suit procedure, hoping for, one, delay, and two, to build a record through which to try and get the lawsuit dismissed. Mock Mining responded to these four points as follows. First, regarding the statutory language and discretion, although Title VII gives the EEOC broad discretion as to how it will conduct conciliation, its discretion is not unlimited. If the conciliation process is to mean anything, there must be minimum requirements, and courts must be able to make sure the minimum requirements are met. Second, the confidentiality language means only that parties can't use what happened in conciliation to make arguments on the merits of the underlying discrimination claim. It doesn't mean that evidence about the conciliation process is inadmissible, according to mock mining. Third, as for regarding standards, for 40 years, courts have been reviewing EEOC's conciliation efforts under one standard or another to make sure that the statutory requirement has been met. This regime has not been unworkable. In fact, it has worked, again, according to mock mining. And finally, the normal remedy when the EEOC is found not to have met the conciliation requirement is for the court to order the EEOC to conciliate, not to dismiss the EEOC's case. So the employer's incentive to gin up a failure to conciliate defense isn't that great. The employer's primary objective isn't to manufacture a defense or drag proceedings out. It's to try to resolve the case without having to go to court. And this is just what Congress intended to happen when it established the conciliation requirement. So mock mining is an important case for both the EEOC and employers. For the EEOC, a win would mean freedom from any judicial review of its conciliation process. It could do as much or as little conciliation as it wanted. In fact, it could do no conciliation at all and claim that it did. Most importantly, the EEOC could make sure that the high-profile cases it really wants to take to court aren't resolved informally before the EEOC has the opportunity to publicize the case. For employers, the fear is that a conciliation process free from any judicial scrutiny would frequently mean no real conciliation at all, and thus no real opportunity to resolve a discrimination claim without a lawsuit. Employers could settle after the suit is filed, of course, but by then they will have run up legal fees, and they will receive adverse publicity via EEOC press releases when they settle, whereas conciliation agreements must remain confidential. So for these reasons, it's not surprising that the Supreme Court decided to take the mock mining case once a split among the circuits developed. However, the case did not provide a great vehicle for resolving all the issues surrounding conciliation because, as I'll discuss a bit later, there really isn't much of a record about what happened with conciliation below. During the oral argument in mock mining, nearly all the justices expressed discomfort, sometimes great discomfort, with the EEOC's position that there is no judicial review of the conciliation process. Justices Breyer and Scalia both remarked that these days there's judicial review of essentially everything. And at one point, Justice Breyer even said, quote, "Of course there should be judicial review." The justices were looking for a workable standard of review consistent with the broad discretion that the statutory language seems to confer on the EEOC. Justices Breyer, Kennedy, and Sotomayor all virtually pleaded with the government to offer a workable standard. The government lawyer was quite reluctant to offer a standard, however, and never really offered one. She warned that whatever standard she articulated, or anyone articulated, even a very minimal sounding one, would end up creating a morass in the form of mini-trials about what happened in conciliation. And these mini-trials would divert the court from the real issue in the case, which of course is whether or not the employer discriminated. It seems likely, though, that the court will reverse the Seventh Circuit and reject the position that the conciliation process is outside the scope of judicial review. At that point, the court, broadly speaking, would have two alternatives. It could formulate a standard of review for conciliation which lists the rudiments that must occur, such as a statement of willingness by the EEOC to conciliate, to talk, plus some talk and a settlement offer. The standard, in all likelihood, wouldn't be exacting, and it would be deferential to the EEOC, consistent with the general language of the statute on this point. Alternatively, the court might simply reverse without saying what judicial review of conciliation should look like. The EEOC could then issue regulations on this subject, which it has never done before because it wants to maintain the position that there are no real formal requirements. This minimalist option of not stating a standard is available because, as I said earlier, the mock mining record contains virtually no evidence about what happened during the conciliation. So the court can't really measure what occurred in that case administratively against some standard and decide that it was good enough or not good enough. This enables the court, if it chooses, to simply duck the issue of what the standard should be. But the court seemed to want to formulate a standard. The problem is it may find it difficult to develop one that satisfies the majority of the justices. Indeed, some of the justices seem to have trouble articulating a standard that would satisfy even themselves. A decision on the case is expected within the next several months.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.